Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to what Jack Ham refers to as the Chateau. The Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and also located in Hummel's Wharf for routes 11 to 15 with Sunbury Motors Kia. And also by Rick Weibel at REW Financial and Insurance. Always great to have Rick on board every Thursday at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at REWfinancial.com. We now welcome in one of the truly great linebackers, Andy Russell. Andy, welcome. It is wonderful to have you on the show.
Hi, Steve. I hear you got a great show.
Did that come from Ham?
That was right from Hammer.
He always has my back, Andy, just like you always had his back on the field.
Yeah, he was the best I ever saw.
I'll tell you right now, but you know what, though? I want to, before we get into a couple other things, one thing he's always told me, he's always gone out of his way when he and I have talked about those days, about what you did to help him. Do you see in today's football, when you're around today's football, mentoring like that compared to your era?
Well, you know, I wouldn't really know the answer to that because I'm sure the veteran Steeler linebackers are helping the younger players and giving them pointers and that sort of thing. It's just a natural thing to do. And you know, I was very impressed with Jack Ham right from the get go. I mean, the first day he was on the field, he looked an awesome athlete. And so it takes a while to learn the game. The pro game's a lot different than the college game. So, but he did it very well, as you know, Hall of Famer.
Obviously, and obviously one of the best ever. For you, before we get into a couple of other things, tell us a little bit about economic Pennsylvania.
Oh, it's run by my agent in the Sealands Grove area, Fritz Heinemann, who's the president, and he's a terrific guy, a very dear friend, and I think it's very important that we teach the youngsters in the state about the economics, and you know, to try to teach them not to spend more than they have, and so forth. There's just a lot of basics that I think are real important for Economics Pennsylvania teaches those things to the kids.
And of course, you're obviously highly involved in it, and you know, you take whatever from your book signings and you send it in that direction.
That's right. You know, Fritz has set up. I'm coming out next week. I'll be there for the early days of June, and I'm going to have some book signings in one of the Isabella's and some of my favorite places in the Sealands Grove area, and I'm really looking forward to seeing my friends there.
Yeah, it'll be terrific. When you look at today's game, what is it that impresses you about today's game, and what is it about today's game that you think may have fallen off?
Well, first of all, I think it's clear that today's players are bigger, faster, stronger. Now, one of the reasons that's true is that they don't really have to have jobs in the off season. I mean, we had to work in the off season. In fact, I worked during the season, but because we in those days, you knew you were working to make your money playing football. You had to have a job in the real world. Today's players, of course, do not have that issue. They will retire with all the money they ever need. They should learn. They probably should go back to school and learn how to handle it. You know, that's another issue. But they what they do in the off season is they go into the Steeler weight room and lift weights for 4 or 5 hours a day, and they, you know, because that's why they're bigger, faster, stronger.
In terms of the quality of the game, do you like the quality of today's game?
I'm very concerned about what's going on with the concussion issue. Obviously the NFL is trying to protect the players from injuries, which is obviously a good thing. But on the other concern I have is that they're gonna sissify the game to such an extent that right now we could do things. Jack Ham and I could do things that the Steeler linebackers are not allowed to do. You know, we could hit a receiver in the head. We could cut him at the knees. We could keep our hands on him till the ball was in the air. Not hold him, but, you know, have our hands on him till the ball was in the air. So we could truly reroute the receivers. Today they don't allow pass defense in the NFL today. So because they want the score to be 48-40. You know, because they hated the Pittsburgh Steelers by last year because we had 5 shutouts.
Well, exactly. And at that point, there was no 5-yard contact rule. I mean, that rule didn't come in, I think, until 78.
Well, you're right. And so now they get one little jam, which they don't even do anymore because they get and it's so the game is being legislated in with lots of new rules, some of which I think are a little bit unfair. Because there are times when you really don't, as a linebacker, you do not have the option of tackling the guy lower than, you know, his head. I mean, sometimes he's right on top of you, and guess what? He's lowering his head to run over you.
For you, when you played, were there moments when, quote, they told you, and you found out you had your, quote, bell rung?
Oh, yeah. I had 10 concussions that I can remember, and probably another 10 I can't remember, but I had my share of concussions. And you know, in those days they always told you, never show your opponent that you're hurt, never lay on the ground, get up and get back to the huddle. And I remember one time we were playing in Green Bay, and I tackled Jim Taylor, the fullback, and his knee hit my helmet, and there was this big flash of light, and I somehow got up and I staggered back into the huddle, and Bart Sarr said, "No, Andy, you're in the wrong huddle. That's your huddle. That's your huddle over there."
I'm sure it was an unfamiliar moment for you to look over and see Paul Hornung.
Yeah, it was.
That didn't help.
But I didn't recognize
now,
it.
Back then, you'd go to the sideline, you'd see the trainer, and that would be it. You'd go back out the next series, right?
Yeah, you'd just go back. They'd ask you, you know, they'd hold up one finger and say, how many fingers, you know, what's the number? And then or they'd ask you if you were a boy or a girl, and if you knew the answer, you'd go back in. So they really kind of thought of concussions as just a little, like a bruise or, Russell got dinged or what, you know. They didn't take it seriously. I'm not sure that people didn't understand concussions the way they do today. Today there's, you know, all kinds of hospitals studying it and analyzing it and studying brain tissue and so forth. So it's much different today than it was then.
One of the things they are doing today, and it started in the middle of last season, was that they assigned someone that would be in the stadium and actually look for that. How do you feel about that?
Look for hits to the head?
Concussions. They actually would assign somebody in the stadium, and it was their job as a doctor. And they had the ability to look at somebody and say, you know what, I don't think you should go back out there.
Yeah, well, I think that's probably a good idea. I'm kind of glad I played when I played because I having had 10 concussions, I think, and then you have to pass this test in the following weeks. So, you know, I wouldn't have had a career. I would have not been able to play. And as it was, you know, the big mantra in those days was to play hurt. And you know, I never missed a game in my 14 years. So it just, I'm kind of glad I played when I did.
Your 14 years encompassed dark days of Pittsburgh, and then encompassed obviously the great days of Pittsburgh. Give us an idea of what the two eras were like for you as a player.
Well, you're right. My first year was 1963. I was a rookie in 63, and I got to start along with a lot of great old pros who had played in the 50s, like Ernie Stotner, Hall of Famer, and all that. And we almost won the championship that year. We had a good team. I then went in the military. I was a lieutenant in Germany for 2 years in the Army. And then I came back in 66 and started my career again. I used my father didn't want me to play professional football because it would humiliate the Russell family to have a son play a game for a living. You know, you've got to be a worker. But so that's how different it was in those days. But he didn't want to pay for my MBA, so I said, Dad, I'll use the money to pay for my MBA. And he was okay with that. But the difference then in the 66 until 72, really, we were a pretty bad team. And in 69, Coach Knoll came. Here we were winning 4 games and losing 10, or winning 3 games and losing 11, that kind of thing. And Coach Knoll got up in front of us. He said, well, I've been watching the game film since I took the job, and I can tell you guys why you've been losing. You could have heard a pin drop in this room, because we had we had meetings constantly to talk about why are we losing. And he said, the reason you've been losing is you're not any good. And I'm going to have to get rid of most of you. Yeah, and he said, I'm going to have to get rid of most of you. And guess what? There were, in that 69 meeting, there were 5 of us who made it to the Super Bowl in 74.
In some ways, when you made it to the Super Bowl in 74, did you look at the other 4 guys and think back to those days as you sat there?
Oh, absolutely. And we all 5 of us felt so lucky to have not only to have survived the cuts and all the transformation of players, but also the injuries and the issues, you know, that could cause you to not be there.
And then once retirement comes around, I mean, you retire, you had, you know, a great career. What path did you decide to go after that?
Well, actually, I had already started my business in 1969. So I had my own company, which for lack of a better name was called Russell Investments. And I was selling syndications for Wall Street. And initially started out thinking I'd just do that in the off season. And the first off season I did it in 1969, I made more money than the Steelers were paying me. So my wife, of course, said, well, why don't you retire? I mean, you know, you could get hurt. And I said, no, it's not about money. It's a passion. I want to see if we can maybe win half our games someday. You know, so then I quickly realized that I had to work during the season as well, because I just couldn't shut the business down. So I would go to meetings before practice and after practice. It was 24/7. But, you know, I'm not complaining because I loved every minute of it. And it was a great experience. So, you know, I didn't start my career in business after football. It was during football.
And, you know, and that, you know, your family, because you mentioned your father. I think your father was with Monsanto, wasn't he?
Yes, he was a corporate executive for Monsanto. And in fact, my freshman year at Missouri, they moved to Europe. And that's when he made me promise I'd never play pro football because it would humiliate the Russell family.
Felt differently later?
He came around after 2 Super Bowls. You know, he said, okay.
Couple rings seems to bring the family around.
Yeah, it was. He came around to thinking it was probably a good idea, and I, you know, because he liked that I had my own business, and so it worked out.
He also wrote a couple of books along the way. Give us an idea of the themes of the 2 books. One was, I think, it was Steeler Odyssey, and the other one was a Steeler Journey.
Well, actually, I've written 3. The first one was a Steeler Odyssey, and I gave a copy of it to Jack Ham, and Jack said, you should have called it an Odd Steeler's Journey. So so that's what I called the second book, An Odd Steeler's Journey. And then the third book is called Beyond the Goalpost. And that's the one we'll be selling at these events in Selins Grove and Lewisburg and so forth. I'll be at Play World and some of the restaurants, Isabella's and so forth. And that's one of the things we'll be doing. And the proceeds will go to Economics PA.
Right. In fact, I was going to get to the third book in a moment as a setup. Tell us about Beyond the Goalpost, and when someone picks up a copy of that, you sign it for them, what they can expect within the book itself.
Well, there are a number of chapters that deal with my football experiences and what that was like and the players and so forth of in those Super Bowl years. But it's also about my experiences traveling around the world. One of the things that happened was that Ray Mansfield and I, he was the Steelers center, and we were both the two oldest guys on the team.
He preceded Mike Webster.
That's right. He was a very good player, but he and I we figured out how to use the Steeler notoriety of winning Super Bowls to pay our way around the world, and we would give speeches in Tokyo, Hong Kong, Singapore, Bangkok, all the way around, and we did that for about 7-8 straight years. In the off season, and of course, I was looking for investors. I was saying to myself, "Why would I limit myself to Pittsburgh investors? What am I, insane? This is a big world. There's a lot of money out there." And I got Saudi investors and Kuwaiti investors, and one from South Africa. And so it was really exciting and fun. And I wrote a lot of those stories, also about adventure travel, where we, Ray and I would do. So crazy, climbed 4 14-ers in a day and things like that. So I enjoyed writing the book. I hope the people, will take a look at it.
And then June 1st and 2nd, that's when you'll be in the area. And again, the proceeds, of course, will be very generously donated.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Well,
looking forward to my visit there.
It's great. As you and I both know, it's a great part of the state, and everybody can't wait to see you. And I want to take just a moment to thank you for your time. I enjoyed it very much, and we can at least report back to Jack that no dirt was dished on this program.
Oh, I did want to mention this. You asked me about some of the things that are going on today, this bounty thing.
I want to talk about that for a second, yeah.
Yeah, and I did want to make the point that I've heard some broadcasting players say, well, that's a lot of teams have done that sort of thing. Well, I can tell you that my experience with the Pittsburgh Steelers, even with those guys who played in the 50s, I mean, there were some really tough dudes. We had nothing like that, zero. I mean, there was never. We did as linebackers, we had a linebacker party. And this was back in Jack Ham's years. And we said, well, how are we going to pay for this party? And then we said, well, let's come up with a little strategy. If you make a interception, all the other guys have to kick in $10. Or if you make a sack, you everybody else has to contribute $5 or something like that. Right. And it wasn't thousands of dollars. And it never had anything to do with hurting somebody. It just had to do with coming up with a big play at a key moment or making a big tackle in a key series. So, and then if you made a mistake, you had to contribute $20. Right. And it was kind of interesting because sometimes the coaches wouldn't notice a mistake, but those other linebackers noticed it. And I hated paying that $20 more than anything else.
I can imagine that. And that's interesting because that does fit in to what Jack and I have talked about so many times over the years. When there's been a call on the field, on the broadcast, we never dwell on it. Why? Because Jack has always told me that as the way the Steelers went was that if something happened, it was like, okay, forget it. Go to the next play. They always had that mentality. That's why hearing there was no bounty fits right in with that mentality.
Oh, exactly, and Coach Knoll was a great coach, and he believed in successes in the details, and he'd tell me to widen my stance by 2 inches and that kind of thing. He was really an interesting coach, and of course he totally turned the Steelers' destiny around and changed everything. And then of course we had all those wonderful draft choices, starting with Joe Green, but also Jack Ham and Jack Lambert and lots of other really great players. So we got lucky.
Hey, luck never hurts, but also drafting skill doesn't either.
Exactly.
Andy, well, thanks so much for the time you gave us. We appreciate it very much, and we can't wait to see you around on June 1st and 2nd because, again, the proceeds will certainly help out many.
Okay. Well, Steve, I enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right. Andy Russell, former Steeler, and also Jack Ham's former teammate with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll come back with more on WKOK after this.
Sunbury Motor Company, a tradition of trust since 1915. Kias anywhere. You want a new Ford? You got it. A 2012 Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, just $232 per month. And it gets 38 miles per gallon. And if you really want to save mileage money, come get a new 2012 Hyundai Veloster, three-door coupe with 40 miles per gallon on the highway for just $292 a month. Swing on over to Sunbury Motors Kia and try on a new 2012 Kia Forte four-door sedan for just $18,230. And when it comes to used cars, well, just head over to sunburymotors.com and search our huge selection of pre-owned vehicles where you can use our black book and take the guesswork out of trading in your old car. We give you easy access to the most up-to-date internet car buying tools. There's a reason we're number one. So come check us out today at Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, located at 943 North 4th Street in the Auto Plaza, or Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, or go to sunburymotors.com.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Ninety seconds before the news, which means we timed out the Kevin Hur welcome segment perfectly.
Yeah, thanks.
Today's show being brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. We're here at the Chateau. And, Kevin, you have about 45 seconds to inflame the audience. Go ahead.
I've got nothing. I know tomorrow. Let me rephrase that because you're going to take advantage of that later. I've got nothing big to inflame the audience, but tomorrow is carb day. I'm excited about that.
Wonderful. If I were you, I'd go out and buy five loaves of bread now.
Wrong kind of carb.
1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Is this something you have to watch tomorrow? Am I doing the show alone, or can you know?
Well, if you hear segments where I don't say anything, it is because I am watching Carb Day. Because not only do they have 1 hour to practice, but oh, great! Start the music now when I'm talking. You only have 1 hour to practice. Plus, it's the pit stop contest. That's the best part. Hello.
Well,
are you still there?
Just trying to emotionally recover. Sarah Bartlett, our new co-host, starting tomorrow.
I'm out of here. That's it.
I knew the plan would work.